May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 897. Ye poor afflicted souls, give ear, who seek the Lord but fear his frown. What things ye ask in fervent prayer, believing, Christ will send them down. 897.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Psalm 39, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, commencing at verse 25. Psalm 39, Luke chapter 2. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then spake I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity, Selah. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb, I opened not my mouth, because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Luke chapter 2, from verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvelled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and worked strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. The Lord bless his word. Amen. Oh, Lord. Lord, we do seek that spirit of prayer. Pray from on high that thou would remember us in our need of the blessed spirit of truth to grant anything right in thy sight. Grant indicted prayer, the Lord will surely hear. We do seek, Lord, that thou would bless our gathering. May the Lord be in the midst. We pray that thou would help us, Lord, to confess our sin and unworthiness. Oh, we do pray that thou would come over the mountains, and our sin is known to thee, deep in the heart, although preserved, yet how we need thy mercy. We do pray that thou help us, Lord, to plead that worthy name, and may it be precious. May the Lord graciously direct us into all truth. And we pray that thou help us, Lord, to seek that thou open the book and make thy counsel shine, especially in our assembly. May the Lord appear. Thou knowest each heart before thee. We have thoughts also with those words expressed. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. There is an echo in our hearts. Speak, Lord. May the Lord grant to us his speaking voice and remember each longing heart. We pray that thou bless those, Lord, that wait upon thee. And we seek that thou remember such as desire that thou wilt appear, and thou, Lord, wilt come. Remember thy poor and needy people, and direct us by thy counsel. And Lord, do help us to come in all our felt need unto the fountain of all good. Knowest, Lord, that we need those renewings, the Lord, to come and breathe upon these bones that so dead, thy sweetest, softest influence shed. Those, Lord, that feel to need thy forming hand, may the Lord grant the truth of that word. Christ formed in the heart the hope of glory. We pray, Lord, that thou grant that word in season. Knowest, Lord, where there is that waiting upon thee. And we do seek, Lord, that thou graciously bless us from beneath that fountain open, for the forgiveness of sin, for the Lord's mercy to be made known, to be set apart for it, for the Lord to come and grant his sweet approbation, the Lord to grant to us some tokens for good, some realization that the Lord is with us, although Israel passing through the fire. Remember characters we bring to thee in their trouble. Some, Lord, so much laid at thy feet thou knowest. And do hear us, Lord, for the young in affliction's veil thou knowest. Pray for thy gracious appearing. And we do seek that thou wilt remember especially those in great age. We have read of some in thy word And there are those we bring and lay at thy feet. Oh, for the Lord to grant his blessing that maketh rich. The Lord to remember such as feel so much in need of thy gracious help and blessing, not knowing which way to look. But do remember those, Lord, whose harps are on the willows, and may there be a time of taking them down loud to the praise of Christ awake. Desire to acknowledge thee in all our ways. We have to say, what hath God wrought, thinking upon thy good hand, upon thee, Lord, and his healing touch. And there is a desire, Lord, that thou wilt remember those that carry secret burdens. We do pray that thou wilt bless this house of prayer. May the Lord graciously bless the word of his grace. May there be those sweet tokens. May it be, Lord, that blessed portion of those that wait upon thee to find that thou art near. Thou wilt hear and answer the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. We do seek again for the young, the little ones, the older ones, and some that are away. And those, Lord, we bring before thee, that thou wilt bless them, Lord, and make them a blessing in Zion. And others, Lord, we pray for that wait upon thee. Do grant the sweet answers of thy great goodness. And do hear us, Lord, for those that are found continually looking unto Jesus. We desire to thank thee, Lord, for thy many mercies and for the gift of thy beloved Son. May the Lord show us some glorious thing in him, or that we may take that yoke and learn of him who is meek and lowly in heart, that ye shall find rest unto your souls. Lord, do help us thus to come the evening hour. Fulfill the desire of every living thing. Indeed, may the people look higher and above, lose sight of the poor preacher. But may the Lord be pleased to open the book and sweetly show himself through the letters. And do grant us grace, Lord, to fall at thy feet and seek thy mercy. Exceed our petitions. Lord, we have many large petitions. We lay humbly before thee. Thou knowest. Do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, forgive. Richly forgive. And do show us yon lovely man. And remember those that carry burdens. Hear us now. And do remember us, Lord, for good. Receive us graciously. We ask in that worthy name, seeking for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 854. Jesus, Lord of life and peace, to thee we lift our voice. Teach us at thy holiness to tremble and rejoice. Sweet and terrible's thy word. Thou and thy word are both the same. Holy, holy, holy Lord, we love thy holy name. 854.
seeking the Lord's most gracious help, I would direct you to a Psalm of David, Psalm 39. Read there from verses 6 to 7. Psalm 39 from verse 6 into verse 7. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. We feel somewhat directed to the verses here concerning the Lord and his people and their petitions unto him. Especially I note here, the dear psalmist says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. What a good prayer that is. Really my thoughts go to the verses surrounding our text, especially as we think of the witness of God, the Spirit of God revealing to us something of the solemn shortness of time, as in a handbreadth. And also the psalmist feels these things and says, mine age is as nothing before thee. And thus, in the words here, it seems that he is well instructed, perhaps in some great trouble. The Lord directs him to eternal matters, things which are solemnly very great concerning us. Those matters of eternal importance, far greater than we can fully understand. The nearness of eternity, the solemn truth of man's poor, fallen, lost, vain condition, and the way in which the Spirit of God reveals these things with such authority concerning poor mankind, especially his people. There are two things, and that is this: there is that evidence, that truth that God grants to us concerning our eternal habitation. What in truth is the ground we stand upon? What hope have we? What hath God wrought in our short lives? These things are very much in the word of God here. Very solemn it is to speak, and we have to do with the things of this life. We're not left, I hope, to put it on as we put our coats on, but there is the vital aspect of the fear of the Lord, and it is that truth that God grants to his people, though they have to do the things of time, and they are called to be diligent, but it's serving the Lord, isn't it? It's the great truth that runs through this text. It is that setting apart inwardly, although there may be many things outwardly, many things perhaps in providence we have to bring before the Lord. Lord, show me how to do this, what to do now. And yet deep in the heart, there is that understanding that all must be left. And at the end of the day, we're reminded of it. How fleeting those things that seem to press us down, and yet there has to be a casting them all upon the Lord if we are taught of God. These things are deep in God's word, not just a show, not just one thing in the eyes of the world and another thing in the eyes of God's people, but to be graciously established and blessed with that grace. How far short we come. I fail to be so poor. The word in the text seems to occupy the heart of the psalmist. It seems as if he is brought time and again to consider his latter end and would seek to keep his tongue, my mouth, with a bridle, he says, for the wicked is before me. But what cause we have to feel, if I may speak for others, how far short we come. Now I want to hasten. For the things in the text that stand out to me, that this increasing desire to be right. Lord, make me to know my end. Lord, teach me. I may know how frail I am. Oh, it comes to this verse, doesn't it? Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. What a solemn thing to be in a vain show. The world are full of fashions and things, aren't they? And I know full well that things have to be bought, and it's not just the following of fashion, but the things which have to be done. But friends, is it all in the fear of the Lord? So there is a proper understanding. Now it comes to this verse, the Lord measures poor man at his best. It's altogether vanity. And well it is if we're brought to feel it. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Oh, for there's a word that I've been reminded of in the vestry. I nearly preached from it this evening. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Well, it's the same sentiment that runs through the text here. Of that need to be right and to be amongst those that are sanctified. Now, we have the opposite to it, very briefly. In the antithesis, if that is perhaps the correct word, man that walketh in a vain show before God and man, surely they are disquieted in vain. Nothing bettered by the things of God's dealings in his providences, but walking still in a vain show. He heapeth up riches. We have it in the psalm, do we not, a few pages back, of those that are full of the things of this poor dying world. But I want to hasten. There is here that solemn discovery of man in his poor heart heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Well, that's the way into the text. What a solemn thing to be in a vain show. But the Lord delivers his people from such things in their heart, there is that desire to both know and serve the Lord aright. There is that desire to be amongst those we read of, whose steps are ordered by the Lord. A good man, we read of it in the word of his grace. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way, and the wicked are known to God, spreading himself like a green bay tree. Oh, how the Lord teaches his people to hold things with a loose hand. And my God shall supply all your need, says the dear apostle. May the Lord grant it. You know he is a good God. There's some that sweetly know it. He's good in his providences. What deliverances. What mercies. And what things are that known of the Lord's sparing mercies, whereby we are not concerned. And friends, he's a good God in his dealings with sinners, that is, in his mercy. And it leads me to the text a little deeper. It speaks here of this dear psalmist David that comes to a point, comes to something by the Lord's dealings with him. We know not all the things, of course, but it would seem that he'd been through many things, and he says, "Now, Lord, what wait I for?" And in that word it speaks of, if I may notice, that the searching of his heart and the coming to this word that the Lord searcheth the heart. Another psalm, it says, the dear psalmist seeks to be blessed of his God. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. So shall I be upright. And he goes on, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I want to come to the experimental part in the verse here. It seems to me to be a searching text. Now, Lord, what wait I for? What are we waiting for? Four friends. The world are waiting for many things. They are, and we are no better by nature than ever seeking for something but earthly nature, or the esteem of man, or for those things of a lower earth, the things of this poor dying world. Now, Lord, what wait I for? And I want to speak of these characters that we have read of, that some of them. As the word of God speaks of so many that waited upon their God, and not in vain. I'm sure Noah waited upon his God for the time when the Lord would appear. They rested, they not in the ark of grace. We need the Lord to bring them out, to grant a time of deliverance, a time of rejoicing. Dear characters, in the word, I was thinking of one especially that we do not hear so much of, and Barzillai. The man of God. And the king, David, said to Barzillai, one of these characters that hoped in the Lord, come thou over, the king said, I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And in the context, Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live? He said, I am this day 80 years old. Can I discern between good and evil? And so on. And he says that he would abide in what place God had put him in and thus be content. Those characters, I must hasten, that we have read of in the word, waiting, hoping for the Lord. In the sweet word of his grace, it brings before us again the very blessed truth that God has seekers and waiters and hopers upon him. How many like that this evening? They've got something they need the Lord to do for them, to fulfil their hope, that which is pleasing in his sight, or that which will stand the test. No vain show. It speaks in those few verses of those characters. We think of them for a moment. The dear man Simeon, would he like that this evening? The same man was just and devout, that is, with the fear of the Lord, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. What a blessed truth that was. And so we have soon the Lord fulfilling his hope. What a long hope it was, in waiting, and yet surely the Lord fulfilled it. What encouragement to those whose hearts are up unto the Lord. It was revealed unto him that the Lord wrote it in his heart, we may say, in his dealings with him, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Friends, are there any like that? That one thing they do desire, the Lord to reveal himself and show himself as he does to his people. But how far off? How many years? Still, friends, the word holds good. His hope was fulfilled. It was a good hope through grace that the Lord was with him. And he came by the Spirit, full of hope. He hadn't got what he wanted, but he knew from whence it would come. He needed the Lord to appear. And we read of the consolation he wanted. I believe it was for his soul and for his God to appear, for the Lord to make things right for him, and to grant him something to die upon. It does seem, friends, the dear man that was resting upon his God in his great age. What an encouragement. And then, friends, there was the particular coming into the sanctuary by the Spirit, the parents, and they brought in the child Jesus to do after the custom of the law. But you know, the dear man saw in that very moment, that time, that hour, the fulfilling of his hope. But then he took him up in his arms. We do not get turned aside, but I believe that it was sweetly approved of. And he took him up in his arms. more than that in his heart. In the set time had come. When the Lord appeared and he said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servants depart in peace. How his heart was to these vital realities of dying, departing, and yet surely with the Lord with him, it was all he wanted, all he needed. There's something very precious about it, isn't it? The man was divorced from the things of this poor world compared with Christ. The fulfillment of the scripture and the belief that God had given him, but he needed the object of that faith, doesn't it? Need the Lord to come right where he was, when he was waiting in God's house, we may say. And so it was. The dear Lord came. Well, it is if we are found a little like him, waiting upon the Lord. And that's all he could do, wasn't it? And yet it was God's rich grace, and it exercised his heart, that is, by the Spirit, to sweetly wait. And then the time was known when he had the fulfillment of that desire so much that he took him up in his arms. Really, it speaks, doesn't it, of the indwelling, of the blessed Spirit, and the time when the Lord sealed it in his heart and brought it so, since I believe his heart was full. He wasn't alone, was he? What sweet encouragement. And he blessed God. We mustn't forget that. Oh, he rejoiced, didn't he? The Lord's great goodness. Perhaps he could trace it out. Perhaps he could feel that the Lord indeed was faithful. And there's a sweet song in his heart. You know, his God had come. Those that know what it is to wait upon the Lord know when the Lord appears. Once had to walk in it many, many years. More than one thing. But you know, it's when the Lord appears. It's the time, isn't it? Set with our God. You know, he has set times to favour Zion. He's never behind his time. Never is before. It does sometimes try, doesn't it, the hearts of God's people. They fear. They've quite mistook the way. And Satan's not far off. And they wonder if their hope's a good one. They wonder if the Lord is with them at all. So many mornings and so many evenings until that time when the Lord appeared. Many things could be said of the changes and the trials of the way. But his God appeared. There's something sweet in it. And it prompted. Friends, it drew his heart up unto the Lord. And what was it? That he might be with the Lord. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. There's been men of God here in this pulpit that have known that the Lord has taken them home to glory. Their desire was this, that they might be found right of the Lord to help them to finish their course and to be found waiting upon him. Now, if because these things really seem so beyond my mind. What wait I for? Or is it with the desire of the Lord to appear? And it comes to this, it's the hope, isn't it? What wait I for? My hope is in thee. It is a word that speaks of inward inspection and much waiting and looking and seeking for the confirmations of the Lord. Lord, what wait I for? Many ways it can be looked at. Well, friends, what are we waiting for? In the spirit of the gospel, is it for the Lord to appear? And he needed deliverance, the psalmist. But I want to notice a little further in the chapter, it was the truth of God that he was waiting upon. And it was for his great salvation and he wanted to see it that with that sure blessing of his God, and it was his salvation. For mine eyes, he says, have seen thy salvation in that holy child Jesus. There was all his desire. Everything. He was bound up, wasn't he? In the lad's life, we might say, in another aspect. He was all bound up in the Lord. And the sweet truth of this child of God, this man of God, this dear babe of Bethlehem. And he speaks of him thus, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And the glory of thy people Israel. Well, it does seem that it was the day, wasn't it, the Lord had made. It says in the psalmist, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, it does need the Lord's appearing. I want to speak very briefly of this other character, Anna, long a widow. And she came in that instant, and so it was. The Lord fulfilled her sweet hope and spoke to her of many things. So we have before us very clearly the Lord fulfilling the hope and the desire of those that truly waited upon him. Now, friends, there's one aspect of it I want to bring before you, and that is this. The Lord bids his people pray, and yet to fall humbly before him. In that truth, according to his will. But pray on, to seek unto him, according to the goodness of God. And if we speak rightly, there is the undeservedness that causes us to seek according to his holy will. Now, what things are there that are known to God? Well, the Lord fulfill that which is right in his sight. What wait I for? And the aspects of the word is this. It is the moving of his heart in divine worship and true humility. And in the truths of the gospel, what wait I for? He waited for the Lord, didn't he? The dear man speaks of it in such a few words. Now, Lord, what wait I for? And the answer is this, my hope is in thee. I want to speak then just a little on this word with regard to the Lord and his people. Without doubt, friends, the Lord Jesus is the God of hope. The sweet truth that is that is the very subject of faith itself, isn't it? It is hoping and seeking unto the Lord for the Lord himself. What wait I for? My hope is in thee. Now, but the aspect of it is this. This hope is a precious grace. We read of faith and hope and love. The very sweet truth is, does God grant faith? It might be well tried. But hope still, doesn't it? Oh, it is that precious grace God has sweetly been pleased to give to his people, to hope on him still. In other words, it seems to be a word that speaks of that gracious help in the trial of your faith. It is spoken of in this way that it lives within the veil. Very precious grace indeed it is. You know, it's in the glorious person of Emmanuel, as we think of those words, God with us. There's a part in God's word that speaks of it so sweetly. Very searching part in the sixth chapter of Hebrews. It begins with those solemn characters that are in a vain show. But then it speaks towards the end of the chapter, something so precious. It speaks of those two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, who have fled for refuge. What for? To lay hold upon the hope set before us. And it seems to me that in the doctrine and truth of it, that the Lord sets in his word those blessed things for those that wait upon him. But they'll need a refuge. And they'll need the Lord to fulfill their hope, that their whole salvation's bound up in it. That they have to hope in the Lord. But we sometimes read waiting, hoping against hope. Very trying, isn't it? When there is that need of the Lord to fulfill our hope. I mean a God-given hope. That which is all of him. Perhaps a word, a promise, something. And you know it's what the Lord does as he chastens and tries and exercises his people's hearts in godliness, deals with them, straightens them out, could be another word, and brings them more and more upon his mercy. And the apostle speaks of this hope in the text. Oh Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. I must quickly come a little further. It speaks of it here in a very blessed way. This hope as an anchor of the soul. We very sweet part of God's word in the sixth chapter. An anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So it's cast upwards, not downwards. Not in vain, empty, vain imaginations, but in God himself. As the Lord grants the grace to wait upon him, it's waiting upon God. My soul wait now only upon God, for my expectation is from him. And this hope, God-given, enters within the veil. So God owns it in this sweet truth that he is pleased to remember those that hope upon him, spoken of here as the forerunner, even Jesus, who is the God of hope. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest for ever, after the order of Melchizedek, that great high priest in the sweet fulfilling of every time. Well, friends, the Lord is pleased to increase that hope and direct his people in the truths of God above this poor dying world, an anchor cast upwards within the veil. Now there's another thought I want to speak from in our text. In the word, in the psalm that has been upon my mind, it says in the psalm, Lord, all, in this previous psalm, Lord, all my desire is before thee, my groaning is not hid from thee. And in the psalm in which our text is taken, the dear psalmist speaks of the need of a God-given deliverance. And he comes to this point here, O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Now, there are things the Lord will be pleased to do for his people according to his faith and fulfill in them all his good pleasure. Satisfy his waiting people. Grant to them more than ever that they have thought. Fulfill in them his grace. Whoever in heaven, we read in his word. But they, Lord, all my desire is before thee, my my hope is not hid from thee. Now lastly, in a few things, the dear man seems to need one thing above all other, and that is this, the putting away of his sin and unworthiness. He needs the application, doesn't he, of the precious blood of Jesus, or the coming of this blessed high priest in all his sufficiency, in those things that were belonging to their worship. It needed the fulfilling of the types and shadows. He said, deliver me. Waiting for the Lord to appear. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Well, what a solemn matter that is. We cannot enter into heaven with our transgressions. Friends, we want to speak of it rightly. It's hiding, isn't it, the cleft of the rock? It is in the truth of God's word, being blessed with the atonement, found sheltered under that rock of ages. And especially how the sweet hymn writers speak of it, of being found under the atoning blood, the fountain open, the cleansing precious blood of Christ, the hymn writer said, what a delightful thing. Or the virtue of it in the God-man, the truth of it belonging to him, and that which is finished upon Calvary, and the blood of atonement taken to heaven. There for the sweet intercession on high. There for the Lord to remember his people. What a sweet offering in that blessed truth of God, made once and yet sweetly remembered, brought to that high and holy place for those that come and seek for mercy. Well, it's the ministry of it, isn't it? It's the Lord's blessing of it, an interest in the Saviour's precious blood. Now, the truth is this, friends, we need it more. Do we feel to need it for eternity? Is our hope bound up in the hymn, my hope is bound up in the Lord, in his blood and righteousness? It is this waiting for the Lord to take his people home to glory and fulfill their home. Well, what wait I for? It is the Lord to grant the seal and the token of it, and to bring his people right at last. What wait I for? Or is it waiting for the Lord to come and fulfill our hope? And what many trials there are, and temptation. But hope looks right up into heaven. So now it's as an arrow cast upwards. It is in the finished work of Jesus. It's in the wounds of Calvary, Gethsemane, and circumcision, but it is especially in the finished work of Christ upon Calvary to fulfill the hope to bring his people right through. I must leave a few remarks, much has not been said, but we have before us the God-given nature of it, and the blessing of the Lord fulfilling the good hope of his people by his sweet grace. Now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £740, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 515. Holy Ghost, we look to thee, raise the dead, the captive free, From the mighty take the prey, teach the weak to watch and pray. 515.
Thank you.
my Lord, to grant us that blessing in another hymn so needful. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And we thank thee for the sweet lines in the hymn, and do bring us right at last. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.